Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Welcome to Two Funny Mamas, the podcast, and I am Sherry Shepherd,
and I'm your girl, Kim Whitley,
and this is the Two Funny Mamas podcast, and we are really excited today because we have a special guest on the show. We would normally do more banter, which we'll probably do in the end, but I'm so sorry, Chris and Kim, I was 30 minutes late.
Yep.
I just got back from Vancouver. And it just was crazy with the time change. I couldn't find hair.
Did you say, ain't no time change and difference in Canada? Ain't it the same coast?
Maybe. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I don't even know where Vancouver is.
Vancouver is, yes, we're on the time schedule, same time schedule as LA.
She just be lying.
I was 30 minutes late and I apologize. Now it's all over the place. And Kim is all in her ADD-ness and that's my fault. Completely my fault. So, welcome, everybody.
Hi, we welcome our viewers and our listeners. And of course, we have our engineer, as we call him, sometimes producer, whichever is not around. Oh, Chris, how are you?
I'm great. Doing great. Happy to be here. Happy day.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to say before we bring in our guest, because it's so apropos. Kim and I are both single women. We've been single for a long time. Kim, when was the last time you actually kissed somebody, kissed a man?
Why you say somebody and then change it to a man?
I'm just saying. When was the
that
last
was
time?
Weird.
When okay. was the last time you kissed a man?
You know what? To be totally transparent, I probably have not kissed a man in a year.
Okay, it has been. You know when the last time I kissed a man?
I don't even
man?
Know. I'm just making that up.
I know you are, because I think
it was the last time you shaboinka boink boink. There is a difference.
This is why we don't need to do our podcast on Sunday.
Yeah.
Hold on. So you guys, I'm going to end this because you have to watch the podcast this coming Thursday. I don't want to do everything on a live.
You daggone right. So go subscribe
to the link on
our YouTube and Audibles.
Not Audibles, Kim. On the link on our bio, if you want to hear us, go type in your search engine to Funny Mamas Podcast, and you can listen to us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, and all of that good stuff to hear us. So I'm going to end the live. You guys,
thank you so much to the people on our Instagram.
Thank you so much. And this Thursday, it'll be Monique Kelly, the dating expert. We're about to ask her some stuff.
Yes.
Bye. See ya.
See y'all. Deuces.
Okay. So... and I'll post this.
Okay. Delete?
No, it'll go in my archive. Oh, okay. So anyway, it has been literally 2 years since I've kissed a man because I'm not dating anybody. I'm single.
You ain't gotta date nobody to kiss him? I'm about to kiss Chris.
I could have kissed Andre. Shoot, no, I'm not kissing anybody. I'm not dating. That's a very intimate thing to me.
Yes, you're right. Kissing. I don't kiss anybody.
I don't just
either.
Be running up.
But to have you a shaboinka boy?
No, I've been celibate. I've fallen into accidental celibacy for almost 3 years. That's okay.
It's okay.
I'm not saying this to get any sympathy. Right. It's all good. Because I still know how to kiss. I got a wall a kissing wall in my bedroom. I do it just to make sure my lips work.
Really?
You remember when you was 12 and you do the wall?
Well, we kiss our kids.
But that's not, no, you can't.
Well, that's a good practice.
That's a
I kiss the dog.
Okay, that's a dog love. I'm talking about an eros love. I'm talking about an intimate love. But here's the thing. We're both single women. There's reasons why I'm reading a book that's so against women, everything that I'm doing wrong. I don't know if this is a healthy book I'm reading, but I'm not sure. But I'm really excited because you came to me. You said, there's a friend of mine who's a dating expert, and yes, I would love to talk to her. So I'm really excited to just jump on board. Please introduce our guest.
Okay, everyone. This is my girl. She has been coming on my show, Daily Pop, that's on E! Every morning. As a dating expert, but she has a book, a dating book called, she's an author and she's, of course, a dating expert. Her book is called Reality in Chaos.
Reality in Chaos.
Yes.
Okay. You sound like you don't know what
I'm
it
sorry.
Is.
I'm sorry. No, you know.
Reality in Crisis?
No. Something happened outside. Hold on, y'all. What was that big noise? Oh, damn.
What happened?
The umbrellas fell.
Okay. All right.
And they broke something. Sorry, y'all, the wind out here.
Knocked her patio.
Yeah, did you just hear something go ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling? And the last time I heard that sound, it was the car flipped over. I hear big noises. Okay, I apologize. Apologize, Monique. Okay, our guest for today. Here we go, y'all. It's like a reality show, but on audio. Okay, our guest for today, she is an author. She is a dating expert. She has a book called Reality in Chaos. Please show some love for Monique Kelly.
Hey,
Monique, can I say you've been so graciously waiting for about 50 minutes for this actual podcast to start. You could have been in a relation, broken up with him, and had kids by the time this podcast has started. We truly are professional most of the time. So apologies to you. And I told you this before the podcast started, Monique, we're going to take you to dinner. We're going to go clubbing, which I don't know if that you talk about that in your book, but we're going to go out. So let's start. We are excited to have you on Two Funny Moms.
Yes, we are.
I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much, girl. I love having you on Daily Pop. I just love everything that you do, because when you come on the show, when I tell you she got knowledge, bam, 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 bam.
Well, first of all, I want to talk, because behind you is your book. This is a cover of your book, which I love, are three queens sitting there and, you know, kikiing it up, whatever we queens do. And it's called Reality in Chaos. Tell us about your book.
So, you know, I started everything off as a dating blogger with Confessions of a Serial Dater in LA. So when I decided to write a book, I wanted it to be a novel, because when you're blogging, you're kind of confined because you don't want to put all your business out there. So right. This book is about three women that went to Hampton University, my alma mater.
Hampton?
Yes, Hampton.
In Virginia?
Yes, Hampton, Virginia. And you know, when you graduate from college, you're in your youth, you're like, my life is going to look like this. At this age, it's going to be this. At this age, it's going to be that. Fast forward, each of these ladies are turning 40 and their lives are not at all what they expected or anticipated. And it's all about how their friendship gets them through life's ups and downs. One of them is dealing with a divorce. One of them is dealing with a family member with mental illness. Another one of them is dealing with dreams not becoming fulfilled. It is juicy. It's good. And there's lessons in this book through the stories of these three ladies.
Fictional book about kind of some true stuff, which goes on in our lives. We all are dealing with that in certain seasons of our lives and friendship and love. This is how Kim, I don't know where Kim is. Kim has disappeared in the podcast. This will happen frequently. I do want you to know, she just disappears.
Okay, go ahead, I'm ready.
She's back.
I just wanted to give you a few ground rules, Monique, before you even start, and you start wondering, where is Kim? Why is her feet up in the camera? What is she looking at? And who is she talking to on the phone? These are the things that Kim does. But this is true, because this is what happens with girlfriends. We go through stuff, and it's our love and friendship that pulls us together, even in the dating arena. Yes. So congratulations on Reality in Chaos. Where can we get it?
You can get it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
Barnes and Noble on Amazon.
Barnes and Noble on Amazon. Go there. There's a link in my bio on Instagram at Cocktails and Confessions, but it's all there and it's so good. It's really like Waiting to Exhale meets Sex in the City.
Yes. So we have got to get Monique's book up.
She has two books, right? Is it two books?
No, just one. I'm starting to work on the next one now. So this is about to go into hibernation soon.
Good. Okay, so reality and chaos. We've definitely got to get that. Now, this is a question that I have. Being single, because you're a dating expert. You're a dating expert. Yes. We've been single for a while. So you start off and tell me what you want to say. And then we can come
Okay, so quick. Here's the thing. My whole thing is this. I love to tell people, I have done the legwork so you don't have to make the same mistakes I've made, okay? Ooh. And I'm all about teaching women how to embrace wherever they are in their single journey. One of the things that drives me crazy is sometimes you're good at being single, but you just don't like it. And I don't know why people make single women who are just over being single, they're having a moment where they're going through a dating depression, or they're just over it, where they make them feel like, why are you over it? You should be happy. Wherever you are in your single journey, if you're at a point where you're over it, if you're at a point where you're enjoying it, it's about embracing it and loving wherever you are, because it will be temporary. I know you're talking about it's been 2 years or whatever. When you finally meet the right person, that 2 years will seem like it went by so fast, and we'll be like, okay, now I understand why it took so long to get to him. It was worth the wait if I knew I was getting to this end.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements. Copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Ooh. Now, you know, Kim and I are two different type of single women. Kim has a lot of testosterone, if you don't know, and you know Kim. She got a lot of testosterone in her.
What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying, you got the dude in
me. What? And no, I'm not going to get a dude. I'm going to have a bunch of women who want a girl, but with dude qualities. I mean, I ain't mad at that, but
I don't say it as an insult, but I'm saying Kim has been engaged a few times.
Okay.
How many times, Kim?
Huh?
You've been engaged how many times?
Probably
3 or 4. Somewhere around there.
It's a lot.
But Kim is very, she's very into what she wants. You know, Kim don't take a lot of stuff. And Kim is one of those people who is like, if you date other people, ain't no skin on my back because I got other people. So men are intrigued by Kim, but she never gets down the aisle.
That's just
what I'm asking Monique, okay. And then you can explain me. I'm gonna explain you. She never gets down the aisle. Kim also has a lot of people at her house that I think men get.
Yes.
If you come over to her house, Monique, if you've ever been over here, she is a big village of people who are always here at any given time. Men have had a lot of problems with her village. What do you think?
So, you know, it's so funny. We were talking about this on Friday on eChem. So here's the thing. I talked about how I started the blog Confessions of a Serial Dater in LA. So I was a serial dater myself, okay? But what happens is when you're serial dating, it's a part of it is a defense mechanism because you have a wall up from past hurts and you're so afraid of being hurt again. So if you see something wrong, even something small, you run because you're like, I'm not dealing with it. So you start serial dating because you have some past hurts. So I feel like Kim, there's a point where you have to look in the mirror, the common denominator is you, and figure out why do you have that defense mechanism? What's making you run? Because it is definitely something. There's a fear there that makes you run. And once you address that fear, then you will find yourself at a place where you will be more open to dating. Because here's the thing. You're open to dating, and there's no such thing as, there's a difference between compromising and settling. We don't want you to settle because you are, I mean, look at you, you're amazing. I've been to your house, you have fabulous parties. So you want someone who comes into your life who embraces your village. That's not going to change, nor should it change. That is who you are. So you want to be able to compromise. There are certain things you will have to compromise on in relationships, but I don't want you to settle and feel like you have to change that.
Okay, nice, very nice. Okay, I understand that. I hear you and I'm clear. Now, Sherry.
Uh-oh.
Yes, she is afraid to be a serial dater. Sherry does one person.
And I'm married.
And she marries him. No, it's right. You never lie about that. Her fear is serial dating or the comfortability, or she doesn't want to do it. I have tried many times. She's like, I'm not going to remember everything about him. And I'm lying, so I can be honest.
And I think I'm kind of boring.
Huh?
I think I'm kind of boring.
No, you're not boring.
I don't even know what I talk about.
By any means.
I don't like everybody says, Monique, to me, you need to just go, because I grew up in a religion that said you weren't supposed to date. You dated to get married. That was mm-hmm. a purpose for dating. It was marriage. If you was running around too long, the melders was on you, because they'd be like, you're supposed to be getting married. So coming out of that mentality, even the thing about sex, like you mm-hmm. not supposed to have sex till you get married. So it's been a lot of reprogramming.
My mama never told me that.
Yeah, I know she did. God.
Not either.
Y'all know you well enough, Monique, to be good.
Thanks, mama.
Comment.
Right. That's
this
mama.
One, I know your mama did. No, I'm just kidding. But now all my friends say, don't, you know, Sherry, when you go out, stop looking at future, which is what I do. I look at, oh, how can we, I be writing his name in cursive. So I don't want to date. I just don't date. It's very scary, you know, now, especially because being in two relationships was like, I had to pay money. So I'm very like this.
Did you say two?
I'm very
two
shocked.
Relationships you had to pay money to?
Yeah.
Girl, let me pull out a list.
No, it's two. Okay, well, let's just go with the two. There have been relationships, because I got a need to help. I always want to help. So I don't want to date, but I ain't going to find nobody unless I do.
Right.
Okay, you let me
know. You and Kim, Kim's the serial dater and you're the serial monogamous, right? So yeah. With the serial monogamous, it's also a fear of, okay, I've met someone, it makes sense, I'm not sure, what if I don't find something better and then I've moved on from this person and I should have just stayed with that person, if that makes sense. So yes. With you, you have to force yourself to go out on multiple dates. Like you have to make an effort. Almost like it's a job where you're like, even if you have to put it in your Outlook calendar, where you force yourself to go on multiple dates. It's about changing your narrative and just really enjoying the dating process. Because, you know, I was married and divorced. And after my divorce, that's how I was. Like before my divorce, it was all about, I want to get married. I need to be married by this age. And I ignored those red flags that I ignored. I mean, and I
how
always
long
say,
were you married?
I was married for 2 years,
okay.
and it was moving on. And the thing
that's
is, like, you ignore those red flags because, again, it's out of fear. So then once you come out of the marriage, you go the other route of like, okay, I want to do it again and go forward, which is fine. But you do need some time to date. So you kind of know who you are now as a person and what you need now out of a relationship versus when you were married.
But what if you start dating those people and you like something about them and you like you guys connect and it's just like it's good and, you know, you're going, OK, I could see this. It's very hard to say, OK, it's a job. Leave it alone. Go on another date because you dating more than one person. My memory ain't that good. I be done got no, stuff.
And then that makes sense, Sherry, because if you do meet someone and you click, I don't advise people to be like, okay, but I'm just going to still be dating other people. If you meet someone and it clicks and it's right, you go for it. You enjoy it. You don't wait for the other shoe to drop. But you're also very aware. You're very aware. Like, don't make excuses for some things where you're like, okay, something in my spirit. I call it your inner loving diva. Your inner loving diva always communicates with you. She will always tell you when something's feeling not right. And I don't advise people to act on that right away. You listen to it, the voice will get louder and louder and louder. And then when your head and your heart connect, you will make the decision that you need to make. But you just listen to that inner loving diva. She'll even tell you, this is a good guy, keep going for it. So if you meet someone and you connect, go for it, enjoy it, but just be hyper aware of some things that might be unsettling and don't push it off.
My inner loving diva, I don't know if she knows. I think she may be a little broken in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's I think everybody's a good guy. Everybody always tells me, we don't like him. And then that brings my defenses up. Now, Kim, I could see her body language. She sat back. She pursed up her lips. Kim does not believe, because the last person that I was talking to a little bit, Kim was adamant. Don't, and I clicked. And she was like, do not drop everybody. You tell him he's not the only one. You let him know there are other men you are going to be seeing. I couldn't do it. She almost put me out the house. Like, she got angry at me because she was like, you don't be dropping everything for one person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I do because I want to focus on one person. So Kim.
Yeah. But I want you to, but if you do that, that's the, remember that is the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You keep doing, we have to, it's a job. My father told me a long time ago. He was like, Kim, if you want a man, if you want a relationship, you want the career. And he said, you have to look at it like a job. You are so career driven and we do that. But if we want a man or a family, we have to be just as driven. And we're not. We love our careers more, and that's just the truth. We like mm-hmm. a man, but you know, they're almost like an ornament. Okay, that was wrong. It is. It's like one of the trophies on the thing. It'd be great if a man came in and he took some of this weight off me. Then I probably would be like, oh, okay, well, boom. Mm-hmm. But the problem is the men that we meet ain't taking no weight off. I mean, paying a cable bill here and there, that's fine. But it ain't taking no weight off me. Right.
This is a cable bill. I'm paying my little Netflix bill. Right.
$19.99. No. Paying his mortgage.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You asked for too right. much.
Yeah.
So what are we supposed to be looking for, Monique? You know, because there's this big discussion that goes on, and you've heard it before with your girlfriends. You have more women now are money earners. There's a lot of women out here who are money earners. They have children. They're you know, at a point in their life. And so people go, why can't you date a regular person? How are you supposed to be aligned financially? Or should he just have a good heart?
Okay. Now, some people will think differently, but this is for me. Listen, you two have your stuff together, okay? Now, granted, a man might not be making as much as you, but he needs to be bringing something to the table. He has to have some form of a career, okay? A real career, not something where you have to be supporting him or by him coming into your world, he's coming up, okay? He needs to at least have his own stuff together, at least have his own home, have a career, have, you know, his stuff together. And I think a lot of times for women, especially when you're successful, so many people tell you, well, you're not gonna meet someone who's as successful as you. Date down. Listen, you've dated down before and you see where it led you, right? So if you're gonna go through some stuff with a man who's broke, you're gonna go through some stuff with a man who has money too, right? So why pick the one who's broke when you can be with the man who has money? You know what I'm saying? I just feel like we are made to feel guilty that we want a man who's successful or a man who does well for himself. Put that out into the universe. If that's what you want and that's what you deserve, that's great, because there are men who make money who have great hearts as well. They are out there.
And I'm not talking about, take it off of Kim and I, who, you know, because a lot of people look at us and go, okay, you're actresses, just your regular woman. There's a gentleman, not bashing him, who's been trending his videos on social media where he screams at women. And he's like, you know, If you make an honest assessment of yourself, you are not a 10, you are a 6, then you cannot expect for a man to want you on. Have you heard him? You cannot expect for a man to want you to want you on his arm. So it makes me go, what are expectations that are just out of the box for women?
Wait, is this the man who got caught cheating on his wife or someone else?
No, that's a different man. That's a different dude.
Because, you know, we all have girlfriends in our lives, Monique, who they go, I want somebody like Idris Elba. And then you look at
she's sitting over there looking like Miss Piggy.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
I want to let
Monique talk, because she knows exactly what we're talking about, because there's this whole thing about, you know, manifesting. You got to be who you want. What do you think about that?
There is so many women who suffer from dating delusion. To your point, they're looking for Idris Elba, and they actually, when he finally got married, they were devastated because they thought all they had to do was walk into a room, Idris would see them, and pick them. Here's the thing I always tell women. If what you want is a man who looks good, works out, makes money, at least make sure you're bringing that to the table. Because for a lot of women, we talk about what we want in a man, what we expect, but we're not even bringing that to the table. However, if you are a woman who's bringing certain things to the table, you're making money, you're fit, you have your stuff together, there is nothing wrong with expecting that from your partner. And a lot of people, including the man that you were talking about, make women feel like they should just settle for something just so they can say they have a man. So you have to realize when you have dating delusion, where it's unrealistic dating expectations, versus when what you're expecting is totally reasonable, and be unapologetic for what you want and what you need. But make sure that it's not all about this list. Because a lot of people get married to this list, and it's a long laundry list of all this different stuff, and they get so fixated on this list that they miss opportunities. Focus on your non-negotiables when you go into dating. Your non-negotiables are things like, is he a good communicator? You know, is he, if you're a person who is he a man of God, if that's important to you? Is he loyal? You know, you look at, has he ever been in a long-term relationship before or married? Because again, you don't want to get with the man who's, you know, late 40s, early 50s, ain't never been married, never been in a serious relationship. So you got to look at non-negotiables versus this long list.
Yeah. And that's bad of us because we both said the same thing. If there's a man who's in his 50s and he's never been married, we go, he got to be gay. But I talked to a man.
Wrong.
I talked to a man before and he said, y'all, women always go to that, you know, if a man is, you know, late 40 above and he's not married or he's not in a relationship, y'all always go to the, you think we gay. Maybe it's because we have not found the right one.
Right. I think my brother ain't never been married.
And I said he was gay.
You didn't? No, my brother, I'm going to tell him.
I did not say Kyle was gay.
No, he just.
And he's not always necessarily gay. He might have some commitment issues, okay? Like, we watched The Bachelor, and we saw some men have some major issues that are unresolved. Yes. So it's not always necessarily that they're gay, because there's plenty of guys who are bachelors for life, you know? But true. It makes you wonder what made them not commit to someone.
If you look at George Clooney, look how long it took George Clooney to finally get with Kamal, I think her name is, and then now they got twins and he seems relatively happy, but he you know, if you were to look at that kind of man, you'd go, well, what's wrong with him? He dated a lot of women. Mm-hmm. Sometimes men take a while before they settle in. Because do you agree that men have to be some women give men ultimatum after they've been dating for a while, but men have to be in a place where they're ready. And if they're not ready.
That's what happened with George. He might have had some issues leading up to that he finally resolved. That's the thing. If they had issues, but they to do the work to get them resolved, then they're ready to get married. Wonderful. They've resolved those issues. They've worked on it. But you're absolutely right. You have to be with a man when he is ready to get married and ready to be in a committed relationship. But notice, I said, if he's never been married, never had a long-term relationship, never been engaged, that's something. If it's a guy that's just always dating, there's definitely something there. But look at George, when he finally did settle down and resolve whatever he might've had going on, he picked a dime. He picked a woman who is smart, who has her stuff together. And look at her. She was coming to the table with something, coming to the table with a whole lot, and met a man that matched her.
Right. What do you think about, what is this new Facebook? I want to go to internet dating. Just what do you think about the new...
I'm writing down notes, questions
that I have for my mind. I heard there's a new Facebook app or part of Facebook that I'm thinking about joining. What do you think about that?
Is that just kind of like dating online social?
I don't know.
Like, does that fall into the category?
You talk about the Facebook groups? The Facebook groups that you can join?
No. Facebook is a new dating app. I don't know if you know. I think it's within Facebook because they'll ask you, do you want to join? And my friend met somebody on Facebook but she said it was through a dating app. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of that, and I believe it's part, isn't it? I thought it was a group or something like that. And then it's also, they also have a dating, I don't know if it's necessarily a dating app, but like a dating feature on Facebook.
Feature, that's what it is. It's a dating feature on Facebook. Exactly.
I like that because with Facebook, you can kind of see if you have mutual friends. I like that it's a little bit different than the regular traditional dating apps. And I like that it's through Facebook because I feel like you can see who you're connecting with. If you have mutual friends, if you have similar interests, there's a lot more that you can do with that Facebook. So I think it's something different and something new. And I definitely encourage that.
Okay.
What do you think about, well, since we're on that with Kim, and I don't want you to think I'm not paying attention. I have all these questions
that pop
in my mind.
Ask away. Ask away.
Like dating apps. We have a friend, Lonnie Love. She preaches this all the time. She met her boyfriend, James. They're going on 2 or 3 years. They've been together. She met him on Bumble. Essence Atkins met her ex-husband on Match.com, but they were married for a while. You know, I just know people who've met and
I've met a couple con artists on. Oh, sorry.
I'm scared to do dating apps, Monique. I tried one. I went to that damn eHarmony and I want my money back because I paid all this because I went to one that was kind of expensive because I thought, well, men are serious. But all I kept getting were men. I was like, hey, baby, can you send me some pictures, baby? You know, and I'm like, ew. But yeah. Maybe I didn't do my profile the right way.
All right, let's talk about dating apps.
Okay, she could tell us. How should we spell our profile?
What do you think about dating?
Okay, so here's the thing about dating apps, okay? Either you like it or you don't, right? Some people use the dating apps, they love it, they've met someone, and it's thriving and it's great, which is wonderful. But like I like to tell people, your dating journey is customized. So just because it worked for one person and it didn't work for you doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. So when it comes to dating apps, what usually drives me nuts is that some people just don't like it, okay? And it's okay. You tell people you don't like it, they're like, well, have you tried this? Have you tried this app? Maybe it's your profile. Maybe you're not doing anything wrong. If you don't like it, you don't like it, and acknowledge it, be honest with yourself, and keep it moving, and that's okay.
Okay. So I don't feel crazy. Now, with the dating app, she was talking about Star Jones.
Right.
Uh-huh. Star Jones, the way she met her husband, he's an attorney. They're both these international attorneys. She's now adopted his son. She's living a great life in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Her profile, this is all she did on her profile pic. Just her eyes.
I thought it was one eye.
One eye? No, it wasn't. No damn one eye. That looked crazy.
I swear it was said that. That's what Star Jones said.
It was one eye because she said she wanted them to go for, you know, want to know more. Now, me, I thought it was the craziest shit I ever heard in my life, but she'd been married for 5 years.
Right, I thought that was brilliant.
I said, what dude going to just go for an eye?
Right.
Well, who am I? I'm still single. And she's been married for 5 years, living a fabulous life with her international husband.
She's happy too. Like one thing we know from COVID is these face masks force you to look at people in the eye. You really are focusing on people's eyes. You learn a lot about someone just from looking at those eyes.
Yeah, till they take that damn thing off and you see they're missing 3 teeth.
Yeah, or they breath smell
and
like
everybody booty. Breath smell in a face mask, but you know they're missing teeth. And
then they smile because the bottom half of your face is important. I never thought like you got an extra long jaw. It didn't match your eyes. Yeah, it threw me off a couple times. It threw me off.
You take it. I was like, I didn't know you had 3 chins beneath that K95.
I didn't know. Right. It was all. Eyes were beautiful.
I don't like this mask thing.
But I'm looking straight up in your nose. Your nose. I was like, this ain't no. Put that back on.
See, I like it when a man look at me. He like, you got beautiful eyes. I go, hear the rest of me. Yeah. I need to pull it down.
That's why you coughing.
So the next one is with the, you know, this is a question. We're black women. I've only dated black men. I love black men. I love everything about a black man. But Lonnie was getting on me because she was saying, Sherry, you got to open up your, you know, you just got to expand because you're missing out on possible love. And
I date some all.
I date some all. Okay, first of all, that should be a red flag. I date some all.
You let Bigfoot come over here and see what happens. all that hair on him, I'd be like, we're going to shave it. Come on in, baby.
You see how she be flirting with Chris?
Chris going to get a shot. Chris going to get a shot. Mm. Chris lucky he don't live
You here. Know what money...
Oh, me and Chris would have been out by now. We at least gone and got a little coffee.
I know.
I'd have rubbed his little soft hands. He looked like he got soft hands.
We're going to St. Louis. Monique, Chris, our producer of the podcast, we're going to St. Louis to do a comedy show. Mm-hmm. And they already got their little tete-a-tete worked out.
Oh, yeah.
But
Chris going
to
be scared.
I get him for you, Kim. He's amazing. I spent time talking to him this morning. I love him.
I don't.
He ain't amazing. He's single, too. Something wrong with Chris,
yeah,
too.
Something wrong with Chris.
Oh, no.
We're going to give Chris a chance to ask a question, too. So, Chris, while we're talking, don't be all off guard. You got a piece of paper. Write down what you want to ask her about dating.
Got it. Yeah, you all covered some good stuff. I appreciate the because I'm 36, and I was laughing about that with somebody. Somebody posted online, if a man's over 30 with no divorces and no kids, something's wrong. I'm like, that could be 50, maybe. But
you're not 36.
30? Like,
30.
Why would you want that in your life? Like, do you want to fight?
No, you still got
Yeah. Always got to take it there.
I say 50.
That's
Monique,
fair.
So think of your questions, Chris. So Monique, here's the thing about, you know, it makes me because I think it's a familiarity with Black men because,
right, of course,
you know, I wear a lot of hair. You come in my house, a Black man, typically, if they walk into a house, there's a lot of hair. His cousin does it. His mama's done it.
He understands.
He understands if I say certain things. He understands if if I'm a certain way, he understands because he has women who look like me that have done the same thing. And so I always go, if I get with a white man.
Or others.
Or an Indian man. Or a Persian person.
No,
I know people. Who are
Black?
Well, it doesn't matter. No Black women. Like,
you know,
I've got
Black women with an Indian man.
Yes, Pakistani is Pakistani. Okay,
get it right.
I said it wrong.
I'm just saying because my cousin
not Native Pakistani,
and
yeah, that's what I meant. Pakistani.
You know, near 911, we was all concerned during that time.
Okay. Damn it, Kim.
Oh, good Lord. You know, sometimes Kim will be the destruction of our podcast and lawsuits. So what I'm just saying is, it's the nervousness for me of, will he be able, a man outside of my race, will he be able to relate to when I take him to my house and my family ignorant and they loud and they, you know, like, that, like, gives me agita.
Right.
It gives you what?
Agita.
You can't just say gives me anxiety. You got to put some words out your ass.
Well, that's because you what? If I date a Jewish man, I need to be able to throw
what?
Some lingo around.
Did you say agita?
Like that, agita.
That sounds like your cousin's name. Agita, come on downstairs, girl.
Can we focus on more
this weekend? Okay, so let's talk about this because this is important. And I think this is super important because I am a lot like you, Sherry. I love my Black men. I love the way they smell. I love Black men. Okay. And for me, I know that is important to me. Okay. For me, that's a non-negotiable. So, and I'm aware of that and I'm okay with that. And for certain people, they're open to dating. So if you happen to meet someone outside of your race that you are attracted to, that treats you well, that you're like, man, I can't believe this. I've never really dated outside my race, but this guy is different. That's one thing, okay? But it's another thing when you go outside of your race because you think they're gonna treat you better or you think it's gonna be easier because there are fools and clowns in every single race out there, okay? I talk to my Asian girlfriends, my white girlfriends, they dealing with dating issues among that. So as long as if you decide to date outside of your race, you're doing it for the reason that you simply fell in love with someone and it just happened versus going out there actively looking because you think it's going to be easier. That's one thing. Also, if your thing is Black men and that's what you love and that's what you like, again, I always like to tell people, be unapologetic for that. You know, there are eligible Black men out there. So be okay with that and be honest with yourself if that's what you want.
But the pressure of the race, just like Matt James, and let me say for my cousin, Anjum, who is Pakistani,
okay,
been married to my cousin damn near 30 years, mm-hmm, and they kids. Let me just say, you're absolutely right. At a time, right now we're more woke. And what I was saying is, at a time like that, the family, you know, they all looking like, hey, wait, wait. And that's what I'm talking about. The pressure of the world, just like Matt James on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. He felt the pressure, even though the girl was dead wrong. But you feel the pressure
Matt
of
Matt James picked a girl. I just want to
say. I got it. Okay, right. Give it to
Matt
okay.
James picked a girl, Rachel Kirkconnell, I think her name was.
On The Bachelor.
On The Bachelor. He was a biracial black man. He picked a white woman who it came up that she had gone to an antebellum themed party. Mm-hmm. It came up that on tweets she liked different, like Make America Great Again tweets, Donald Trump mm-hmm. tweets. And so it came out that, you know, some of her race, her things that she leaned towards was racist. So he didn't know this before he picked her. Now mm-hmm. has come out, they did not stay together. Keep going.
Yes. So that's why he felt that when he was on The Bachelor, especially the after show,
right,
he was explaining how just he couldn't be with her. And he said, as a black man, and it really is the pressure of the race, there is no way he can go out with that white woman.
Absolutely
not. There's no way. There's just no way. His life would not be great. Now, me, I was dating this. I wasn't even dating, but this white man.
Oh, please tell Monique that story.
Who was still a very, well, very good friend of mine, especially now. But
handsome, wealthy.
Handsome, wealthy white man. Been knowing him for years. And he sent me a picture of one of his houses. He was on the river.
This is
and
so great.
Chris is cracking up.
Kim Pool's a man boy.
Sherry, this shows the guy's age too. That he wasn't aware. Sorry, continue.
He was not aware. He was not woke. And he sent me the picture. He had his feet up, and you could see the river going past his house. His house sitting on the on the river. And then I looked in the back. You know, we zoom in on a picture. I was like, "What is that red flag?" Girl, I zoom in and it's a red flag, and I think I see a T on it a little bit.
No!
And I, yes! Never knew this. And I confronted him and I said, what's the red flag in the back? But I tell you, he was silent. And it was a
and
Trump
he told Kim, yep. It was a Trump, a Make America Great Again flag, but he said to Kim, you know, I love you, I love Joshua. He said, I voted for him because of the business.
Money part.
It really put Kim off because this is a guy who really likes her. We had a lot of listeners who said, y'all can make it past this. I don't think you can. Like, how do you feel about, like, political differences? Maybe. That's so...
It was a
That's
rough...
That's why I tell people, you got to think of the non-negotiables. Forget about... I'm tired of these lists. Get rid of the list. Non-negotiable. That's a non-negotiable, right? Because people love to, you know, I'm not going to go into politics, but we'll just say that blaming it on business and the economy as to why you would vote for someone like that is a questionable response. I'll just say that much. Mm-hmm. And that's a major, it's not about Republican versus Democrat. No, it's about what someone stands for. And yes,
more.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So that, I don't think you could have moved past that. And again, if you meet someone who happens to be of a different race and you vibe and you click, I say go for it. If you're curious, okay, let's give curiosity an opportunity. If you're curious, like, I wonder what it will be like to date outside my race. I'm feeling this person. They're kind of cute. I'm curious. Okay, be curious. I say explore every single avenue, but if you realize after your curiosity that it's just not your thing, like you just like a black man, it's just something about him. I know it might take me longer or whatever, but there's just something about black men. Own it, be unapologetic for it, and it's okay.
See, now I'm curious. Because every time a man from another race tried to talk to me, I ended up getting married to somebody and it never went anywhere. Remember my Italian chef?
Yes,
in New York?
Nice. Oh,
no,
you
no,
were so
no, honey.
Me and her weren't tight like then, because let me tell you, the Italian men I'd have had in my life, honey, if we was friends, I'd have said, well, forget you, I'll take them.
He had a number three best times bestseller, and it was.
But she want to go date the dude that ain't got a job. That's what she.
Okay, wants. Now that's where I'm saying
trash. It doesn't make no sense.
Let Monique
you
talk.
Are self sabotaging. That's what she is.
What do you?
But if you're curious about it, that's the thing. If you're curious about it, explore it. Because maybe for you, especially Italian men, Sherry.
She was afraid. She's afraid
Italian
of
black men. You might as well date a black man if you date an Italian man now.
You're afraid of them.
I'm not afraid of white men. It's a Pakistani man. It's an Asian man.
Okay, you're afraid of another race. Afraid.
But not. Don't say
nervous,
I'm afraid
not
of
afraid.
White men. I'm
not afraid,
afraid
of a white
man.
Excuse me. I know it's so sensitive in these times.
You know what I think it is? I think
he's uncomfortable.
She's uncomfortable because she loves black men. I think what it really boils down to, I hope I'm not speaking for you, you love black men. You love your brothers. And that's okay. But if you're curious and to see, explore the curiosity. Because some women love black men and they'd have no curiosity about anyone else. They're like, I have no curiosity. I'm very clear. I want a black man. Explore your curiosity, Sherry. You never know. You might realize, okay, this person, not race, but this particular person I'm vibing with. It's not about the race. It's about the vibe. Or you might discover, okay, I was curious about it. I tried it. I like my black men. But if you're curious, explore your curiosity.
So now, thank you, girl.
Just be honest with my son. What, baby? You're feeding the dog?
Well,
okay.
Why
could
we gotta stop
yourself?
The podcast so you can do your... This
you
is always...
But I feel you, Sherry. I was the same. I mean, my man is a black man. Kim's met him. And, it took a long time to finally meet him. And I was like, thank you, God, finally. But, I was never curious. But I have friends who have been curious about it. They have explored the curiosity. Some of them ended up marrying someone outside their race. They're very happy. Some of them were curious and realized, no, I'm going to stick with the black man, and they're still very happy. So you got to be
open. I just,
and it depends on the white man. Let me tell you,
he got to know about black people.
He got to have swag. He got to be woke. Because the problem is, you can't take if you're not. And I don't care what race he is. There's certain things that you got to know. I don't want to be embarrassed by you. Like when we walk in, like if you're foreign and you're from Italy. Of course, and you're speaking Italian, there's all kinds of excuses we can give for you. But if you're from down the street and you're embarrassing me and you don't know certain things, or you say some corny white shit, now there's a problem. Chris.
Chris ain't never said nothing corny.
I didn't say, I'm just making sure I'm letting him know. Remember, I'm getting him ready.
Right. Yes, this is a preparation to head up a black family. Continue. I get it.
And also true. To that point, Kim has a really good point. If you are dating someone outside of your race, understand you're going to have certain conversations with them because certain things they're just not going to get. It's not innately within them. So certain things you're going to have certain conversations where if you're with someone of the same race, you can just look at each other. You don't have to say anything. You know exactly what the other person's thinking about a situation. Right. So when you go into a relationship with someone who's not of the same race or of a different culture, understand and know you're going to have to have some of those conversations. They may ask questions where you're like, I can't believe I have to answer this. Or even when all the stuff was going on last summer with George Floyd and there was a heaviness he had to us. And, they might not understand the level of heaviness and why it was weighing down on you, but they're open to understanding. Just know that will be conversations that you will ultimately have to have. And it's okay. At least they're open to it. If they have a flag in their
house. I'm sure he does.
Well, I just wanted to move off race. Yeah. Hold on, Chris. Okay. I'm about to say. Oh. So dating for women who are older, who are now, like you said, they've gone through a divorce, they're raising their kids, they haven't been in the dating game. This is a whole new world now. Do you have any tips for women who are older? Sometimes we feel a little fragile. And the one thing I think women our age feel like, who haven't been in the game, is you don't want to be wearing a neon sign going, I'm vulnerable, don't hurt me.
Oh, that's
like, that's the worst.
You could be vulnerable. I'm not vulnerable.
No,
come on with it.
Look at your arms crossed. I told you got testosterone. I'm not
talking. Why you got your arms crossed like that?
Her whole body language is just.
Go ahead, try to hurt me. You gonna get hurt. Go on and play that game. They always do. They all come back. And I'm like, nah, boo-boo. You tried to play that game.
Which is another thing I want you to answer. Women who are like Kim, who are like, Kim, okay, for the listeners, Kim is sitting back with her arms crossed like she's ready to fight. What? How does that kind of woman who comes out of, who's like, I am ready to fight you. You're not going to hurt me. For God.
No, you're right.
You got two types of women, Monique, to answer to. The woman like me, who's like, I'm feeling a little vulnerable. I don't want to get hurt. I've been hurt before, but I don't want that screaming like a neon sign to attract that type. And then that woman who's like, hey, boo-boo, I'm going to do you for you do me.
Right,
because I get them all.
Right, no, what it is come on in here with that bull. If you want to, I'm going to stab you.
Okay.
What I'm saying is this is the thing. You can't come into a relationship when you've been and intentionally try to hurt me. I mean, there are things that happen. We grow apart. But if you come in here and do some old crazy stuff that's going to hurt me, see, I don't know how your husband, that last one, made it. I'll be on snap right now. Snap. With a penis in my hand. Talking about, I snapped. And yes, I can hold it in one hand and close my hand and you don't know it's there. Oh, I'd have been losing my mind. Wow, I'd have got upset.
That's hurtful. Wow.
I'm not saying that he had a small thing. I don't know.
I think that's exactly what you were saying.
I don't know either because we never had sex.
I was just saying, like.
You never had sex. I wish you would. Boy, you better come in here and break me off.
Okay.
Kim, your hands aren't that big.
Okay, Chris, we are taking her off into a different world. Monique is going to answer to women.
Let me breathe. Give me what? Let me leave the room. You done hit a sore spot with me.
But you need to listen.
Okay, I got to breathe. Oh, Lord, Jesus. Whoa! I wish we would. I wish I had met your ex-husband. I did meet him. That's right. I forgot. I wish he'd asked me to marry him. Right now, I'd be in Rikers. Mm-hmm. Okay.
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 Mm-hmm. We're talking to...
Okay.
Oh, jeez, please. Me and Kelly are getting expert. Kim is awesome.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what the trigger was in the question that I asked.
She felt that. She felt the pain as your friend. She was ready to get it. That's ride or die. That we all need friends like that.
This is the ride or die. I have many, many testimonies of ride or die. This is about you. So give women tips who are getting back into the dating game, who don't want to get hurt, who going to let you know. And you already explained it to you. You start talking.
Okay, so here's the thing with that. When you are dating in your 20s, 30s, it's so different. When you hit your 40s, 50s, it's very different. You are very clear, okay? Even though you've been through stuff, you're vulnerable. And Kim, you might feel a little bit more defensive because y'all have been through some things, okay? So you are very clear on what you do not want. You are very clear on your triggers. You are very clear on what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And when you go back into the dating scene, what happens sometimes, especially as we get older, there is this underlying fear for some women that you're not going to meet somebody better, or you operate out of fear because you're just worried you don't want to be alone or you don't want to be hurt again. So you when you operate knowing what you need and what you desire and what you deserve, you move differently. So that's the first thing, being unapologetic for that. Number two, you gotta make the time to date. Sometimes we're so busy working, being around friends or whatever, that we forget to make the time to date. So is that you, Sherry?
Yes.
Is that you?
This one is Kim too.
It's both of them. We do not make the time because it's not a priority and we gotta get it together.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you have to make it a priority. My three favorite words, in addition to, You guys are bad, right? You guys work hard. It's a Sunday right now. You know, people are COVID brunching. You guys are working. So in the same way that you scheduled this podcast, the same way you schedule other things, you got to schedule time to date, number one. Number two, I'm sure your friends all know that you're looking and you are open to dating. So put it out there if you haven't, that you're open. If you know people, set me up. There's also matchmaking services. A lot of people are starting to use matchmaking services, and there's some that are even more exclusive than others. So you can do that. I tell women, you know, we've talked about putting yourself in places where there are eligible men, whether it's a golf course, the golf range always has good men, whether it's a home improvement store, whether it's an electronics store.
But now, home improvement stores, Mooney, they're the worst because they all married.
No, they're not all married. El DeBarge
was not all married.
I can't speak Spanish. So I see him looking at me. And all I got is,
Early morning. If you go to home improvement, don't go early morning. Go in the afternoon to home improvements. Early morning is the wrong time to go to home improvement stores. Just a side note.
But let me tell you my home improvement story. And we did go, and it's so funny. We went at 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, my nephew and I. We went to home improvement store and El DeBarge was there. He was in there getting nails and a hammer and boom, boom, boom. And I said, and he had his reading glasses on. And I walked past and I said to my nephew, I said, oh my gosh, this El DeBarge. This little ninja goes, who is El DeBarge? Oh my gosh. He goes, who is El DeBarge? And I go to El DeBarge. And then I heard Sherry. And El, because he remembered me. And so we got to talking, and El DeBarge builds things like houses and stuff like that. So he said he was helping his brother build his house. And he was like, I need your number. And I got his number. And this is what I want to ask you. El DeBarge is single with 92 kids, you know, neither here nor there, they're grown. So he was like, let's keep in touch. So I got El's number. I texted him. Hey, El. It was great, you know, seeing you. I didn't get no text back. So what is the rules? Because my friend who's a single guy and he dates, he says sometimes, you know, we'll get your number, ladies, or we'll give you our number, and y'all text us too soon. Like, give us a minute to, like, breathe and go, okay, I miss, let me send her something. Y'all always want to text going, hey, was thinking about you. What do you think about that? What are the rules? Do we move too fast? Do we wait?
No.
And El DeBarge did not text me back.
Did you
text you back?
Me a year later. He texted me a year later, and he did. Okay, stop.
What'd you say, Kim?
I'm not going to say it on the air because Kim is always nasty. Kim going to whisper something nasty in my ear. I will get a text from, so Elle will send me, and I love Elle DeBarge. She will send me a text like every 8 months. And he'll say, I was thinking about you. Here's my number. You know, call me if you need me. So that obviously was not a love connection. But what do you think about that? Answering too soon. Asking a guy for his number.
Yeah, what are the rules?
What are those rules?
Okay. So typically, here's the thing. If you meet a man and you're vibing with him, like, you can feel when it's a good vibe and there's a connection. If he does not ask you for your number, there is a reason, okay? I know it's a little old school, but typically, if a man, it doesn't mean he wasn't vibing with you, but typically, if he doesn't ask you for your number, he has a situation, okay? He's maybe in something, getting out of something, but there's definitely a situation, because when a man, I don't like to say when he's interested, because he could still be interested, but when a man is interested and available and you guys vibe, he's going to ask you for your number. He's going to communicate. Like, whenever you're dating someone and there's this angst of like, he's not calling me back, he's not texting me, he's inconsistent, there's a reason for that. When you're dating someone and it's effortless, it doesn't mean that he not gonna have some issues, but it's effortless. That's how it's supposed to be. You shouldn't have to wonder, is he gonna text you or whatever? So in that situation, when he gave you his number and you texted him, said it was great meeting you, there might've been another situation or something else going on, which is why he hasn't reached out to you. I believe that I'm old school in the sense of, I want a man to court me. I want a man to, you know, ask me for my number. I will flirt with you. I will make sure you know I am interested. I'll even say, you know, you touch on the arm, I'm having so much fun with you. You know, he will know. And then he needs to make the move to keep it going and keep it moving. Texting is not a conversation. Texting is just to be used to say, hey, thinking about you, confirming a date. It's all about having a phone conversation. So if you're dealing with a man who is constantly texting, at a certain point you could say, you know, I would love to hear your voice. Our texts are so nice. would love to hear your voice, and go from there and get him off the text and get him used to using the phone. Because a lot of women are texters now. So he might think that you're a texter and that's your preference. So you let them know what your preference is.
So when you say, yeah, I'm a texter. We got to stop that because I'm so busy. I'll get into an argument and break up with you over a text. Yeah, it's bad.
It is bad.
I remember one time it was a man, and we would text it back. I was so mad. It was on New Year's Eve, and we were just texting back and forth. And I was like, I just don't think this thing's going to work. Yep. Finally, when we got on the phone, it was so different because you can't
have a conversation. You got to tone.
Tone in text is not.
Yeah. We're going to let Chris ask his question because we're coming up on an hour. We're going to have to have, why don't we let the listeners send in their questions and we can have her back.
We have to have Monique back. How do you flirt, Monique? How do you flirt?
I could tell you that.
No, because you're not with anybody.
She didn't say she was a flirting expert.
No, she's a dating expert.
I'm a flirting expert.
How do you flirt?
Okay, go ahead.
How do you
flirt? Go on, Monique.
I don't know how to flirt.
You need to know your flirt language, okay? Because people flirt differently. For instance, Kim has them dimples, okay? All Kim has to do, look at that. That's all she has to do to show her dimples. That's her flirt language. So if you meet someone, you're gonna use them dimples and them high cheekbones. Jerry, you are a smiler, okay? Yeah. Your smile is infectious. It lights up a room, okay? For you, your flirt language.
She need to smile without talking. She need to smile without talking. Men don't want to hear all this coming out of her mouth.
Golly.
Go ahead. Sorry, baby. Go ahead.
So your flirt language is your smile, okay? The worst thing you could do, you know, somebody a little while ago was sitting like this, crossing their arms, but you understand your flirt language. So if you see someone who you're attracted to, Kim's gonna work them dimples like, you're gonna work the smile and you're gonna make that connection, the eye contact connection, which is hard. The eye contact connection for some people is so hard because, you know, you might be a little shy and it's kind of like, oh, it feels uncomfortable looking at them, but you have to force yourself to do the smile, the 3-second stare, hold, look down, look again, and then strike up the conversation.
Yeah, Kim looks like a stalker when she do it. Kim also said that what she does to men, and I've seen her do this, and they like it. Uh-huh. She will compliment them. I love what you're wearing. What's that cologne that you're wearing? Kim, and that's uncomfortable for me, but Kim does it all the time.
Yep. Sherry, we got to get you out of your comfort zone.
No.
We got to get you out of your comfort zone. With me.
I'm going to end up living with
you. You're going to be by your damn self, and I'm going to have to take you and take care of you. Because you won't get out your comfort zone.
You got to get out that comfort. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But you got to get out that comfort zone just a little bit. I'm not telling you to where you're not yourself, but just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. You just have to be, like you said, the vulnerable. If you see someone you like, you have to smile, let them know, compliment them, do the 3-second look up, look down, and then let it go. And like you said, if he comes over and talks to you, whatever happens, do it as an experiment.
Yes. Yes. That's the key.
Yes. Just to see, because you have to practice anything. You practice your lines.
How much do you feel, Monique, when women are dating, their friends should be involved in their dating life?
Okay. This is important. Listen. Yes.
Side-eyeing me. I'm just asking.
I'm side-eyeing you. I'm fully looking at you.
Okay, so here's the deal. When you first start dating someone and you're starting to be like, okay, I'm kind of feeling him, I always tell women, do not introduce him to your friends too soon. Because first of all, you're still trying to figure out who he is. Second of all, your friends love you. They adore you. They're going to, you know, they're going to be in your ear. They're going to be chit-chatting about what they feel, what they think before you've even formed your own opinion about the guy, right? Okay. So I always say when you first start dating, stay in your little dating bubble until you know how you feel about the guy yourself. Then once you know this guy is legit, I'm feeling him, then you can introduce him to some of your friends. But I still believe in keeping that circle small because you just don't want to have a bunch of noise in your ear in the beginning of a relationship before you've figured out how you feel about him and, you know, you guys are solid. And then when he brings him around your friends, make it very clear to your friends, I'm not bringing him around so you guys can assess him. I like this guy. I'm feeling him. It's not an open discussion and a debate about whether or not I should date him. I'm bringing him around because I like him and I just wanted to meet you. And be very clear on that when you're dating someone.
But what if we know, Monique? What if we have a friend who we know, like we can see red flags that they, because sometimes, you know, we fall in love and we don't see those red flags because we like being in love, but we're so eager to be. And if you have friends who are just like, they care, you know, you got those friends who care about you. They may say it in a horrible way, but what if we're on the other side as a friend and we know our girlfriend may not make the best choices. And she's saying, I'm just bringing him around to meet you. It's not for your judgment or blah, blah, blah.
You know, as the friend, you keep your eye on the situation and you put it into your mental Rolodex, because when you first meet the guy and you get a bad vibe, unless it's something major, like I know his wife or I know he dated my girl, he used to be abusive or something like that. That's one thing. Then that's immediate, like, girl, listen, he's crazy. That's one thing. But if it's something where it's like, there's something about him that I'm not feeling, I don't quite know what it is yet, you put it in your mental Rolodex and you just take note. And then when your friend is talking to you about certain things, there will be a window of opportunity where she's listening to that inner loving diva. She might mention something. And as the friend, you figure out a way to say it in a non-judgmental, non-attacking way of like, yeah, I noticed that when I first met him, I was feeling a vibe. I wasn't sure about it, but just keep an eye on it. You know, I see you're happy, but just keep an eye on it. There's a way to say it versus, girl, I'm not feeling him. I didn't like him when I first met him. He did something about him I'm not liking. There's a way to say it to your friend where she doesn't feel attacked and where she'll want to come back to you and talk to you about something. It's all about the tone.
Okay. That's bad. Let Chris ask his question so we can get off here.
Before Chris asks his question, will you
talk to her off the air?
Will you come back, Monique? Because we're going to have questions from our listeners. And we will start on time and we'll devote an entire hour and some to you.
Yes.
But I wanted to say again, Monique's book, Reality in Chaos, please support her by going to Amazon, or is it mostly Amazon or any book?
Amazon or barnesandnoble.com.
Please go to barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com and order Reality. We have it up here, Reality in Chaos.
By Monique Kelly.
This is her first book out, and it is a phenomenal fictional book about women in their 40s of going through things and seasons in life and how friendship and love keeps them together. So Amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, Monique Kelly. What's your social media name?
At Cocktails and Confessions on IG.
Cocktails and Confessions.
What an apropos title. So now we have
also
Chris.
We want people to email any questions. Let's say that.
Yeah, now. Email any questions to twofunnymamas@gmail.com. So we'll have them ready for Monique, because you've given us so much information. I know our listeners and our viewers are going to have questions that we didn't think of. I got six that I need to ask you.
She could have done the podcast by her damn self. I was like, And then she was just writing stuff down. I was like, Lord, you need to just go ahead and schedule a session.
We have this discussion all the time, Kim and I, with our girlfriends. Should you let us know if a girlfriend says, I don't trust something about him, should you let us know? Or with me, I say, you got to bring me receipts. Don't tell me you didn't saw him in a restaurant with a girl. Because I flirt with women, not women, with men. I go out with friends who are men. So don't come at me with that. You got to come at me with, I saw him kissing somebody. Kim wants to know the moment I think something is wrong.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So you know your girlfriends and their personalities and who's going to be receptive and who's not. You know your girlfriends who are in relationships that are shady, and they know it, and you know if you go to them, you're gonna end up being the messenger that got killed, right?
Yes.
But if you decide to go that route, I'm with you. You need receipts, because if you don't have a legitimate receipt, almost like that Housewives in New York with Luann Delaceps and Tom, and he was kissing another woman, and they had the picture, that is one thing. But you do not go to your girlfriend on some hearsay, especially if it's a girlfriend where you know she kind of knows something's up and she's aware of it and she's choosing to ignore it. You just said, Kim said, if she knows something, she wants to know right away. So you already know with that particular friend, you're going to go to her right away with receipts, not on hearsay, but with some actual receipts and let her know. So you know your different girlfriends where it's kind of like, I'm just going to stay out of this because I know she probably knows and I'm not going to say anything until I have a legitimate receipt. And if I do have a legitimate receipt, I'm going to kind of rest on it and pray on it and figure out when the time is right for me to tell her. And it doesn't mean you're not being a good friend. It just means you're trying to respect the boundaries of her relationship. Because we all have girlfriends.
If you tell her too soon, that forces her to make a choice. And if she chooses to stay with him, you asked out because you cut out of the relationship. Because she got to make a choice between you and him.
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
And we know those girlfriends that know. We know those girlfriends. We all have a girlfriend where you know that she knows her man is not right. And she knows it and she chooses to ignore it. So you come into that friend, just know what you're going to get with that.
Yep.
Is that why you let me walk down the aisle and get married and didn't say nothing? Not one thing.
Because you was cutting friends out your life. She was cutting them out like a bad COVID test. Like a positive COVID test. Let me tell you something. She was like, hey, we heard that he was nyah, nyah, nyah. Hey, we saw that nyah, nyah, nyah.
Sherry, now looking back on it now, well, if you're moving forward in your future relationships, would you want to do it differently? Would you want to know?
Yeah, I would want to know. And I think I'd be more open to hearing, but I'm still the type of person, you can't come to me on your feelings. I need receipts. I just am a very, you can't come to me and go, I think he is, you know, it's got to be, we going to his apartment and we going to catch him in bed with somebody. I got a picture of him kissing.
He keeps calling me or texting me.
Then I want to see the text.
See, this is the problem.
Receipts are mission critical.
Chris is trying to jump in.
Sorry, Chris.
Kim looks out for this. Sherry, this is hilarious how Kim looks out for me. No, I think the mentality of if you come at the king, you best not miss. It only come with the best information and be willing to lose it all if you're wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
Chris?
Wow, Chris. That was pretty deep.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how you should treat it. You shouldn't run to somebody every 2 seconds. You know, you got to let them live. But if it's that important, you better say something.
Yeah, because you got it. But I would do it differently, Monique, because I didn't listen to my friends. And when they came to me, I did cut them out because they didn't have receipts. They came to me with, I don't think, and why, and you know, and
receipts. All right, go ahead. So thank you. You ain't gonna sit here on this podcast and lie. That's what you ain't gonna do.
Okay, that's a whole nother discussion.
Okay, I'm just saying. All right, that's fine.
Lying.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Fibbing. I don't remember it like that. Okay. But anyway.
All right.
We've been together
too. But the good news is now you know how to handle in the future. Like you're set. You guys are both. The thing about you two, y'all are good. Y'all are set. You guys gonna be good. I can't wait to see
where
this journey takes you.
I can't either because I'm gonna have to come out with a dude that's gonna be, he got to be damn near perfect. These people, they judgment. Let me tell you something. At least he got to.
But that's why you're gonna wait before you bring him around. You're gonna wait.
Oh, I have to because they ain't nothing nice. But I like.
What if you attracted to your girl? Like I was attracted to her. She had a guy. And they're not even together. He was so attractive. And I told her, what do you think about that? You should tell your girlfriend if you're attracted to her dude.
Look at Monique's face.
I did. I told her. I'm attracted to me.
Yeah, she wanted him. She was attracted to him. And I wasn't willing to share at that moment. And I'm usually a giver. But I was like, no.
Not this time.
Not this time. Sherry, you might show us some stuff, but I can't get them back.
And Monique, I don't want you to think, I ain't never bringing my man around Sherry.
Oh, okay, y'all good. Y'all good. No, but sometimes you be like, oh, he's really good. He's a good looking man. A good looking man's a good looking man. It's not, you know, it's not like you're like, hey, he's so good looking. I want him.
No,
I just knew that Kim was not into him. Like, because Kim keep everybody on it. They all know that they could be out any minute. The Kim's men always know I'm hanging by a thin thread because Kim got other prospects. So it wasn't like she was so deep into this dude. I knew she could let, if he got on her nerves, she was going to let him go. So I just wanted to put in my dibs. And look, they're not even together. She didn't, I don't even know where he is because Kim do like this and they just be gone.
The thing is, if he wasn't good for me, he ain't going to be good for you.
Good point, Kim. She looking out for you.
That probably is true.
I don't want you to go through nothing. Now, there are some that are good that I still don't want. Those are the ones I'm going to give you.
Monique, we're going to let Chris ask a question.
If he had covered it by now.
Because I love you so much, and I have seven other questions.
She was good.
And we have to, would you please come back on? Because
absolutely.
This has been like, we're going to use so many clips to advertise this show. But Chris, I want you to ask Monique a question.
Sure. But oh man, so excited. Monique, big fan here. How much space did you give somebody from their past?
Meaning in terms of what? I need more context.
When you can accept it. Are they still talking to an ex? Did they do something? Did they do something wrong 5 years ago? Did they treat somebody bad? Like, how much space should a normal average person, because honestly, I think a lot of people tank relationships, and it could be their own internal thing, but a lot of people don't always get, some people don't deserve it, but some people should maybe get some space from the past.
That's a good question, because people do change. Like, for instance, if you're dating a man and you found out in his previous marriage there was infidelity, or you know, certain things like that, people do change. People do learn from their mistakes. And you have to get context to it, talk to them about the concerns and things like that. There are certain things that are deal breakers. If someone was abusive or something like that, stay away. But I do believe that people have the power to change. Just like we do. Like, we've all made mistakes in our past, all of us ladies, that we wish we would have done differently, and we've grown from that. So I do believe that people can change. You have to be open to that, but you also have to have really meaningful conversations with them to fully make sure that they are a changed person. And when you have the conversation and you choose to move forward with it, don't throw it in their face later. If you move forward, you move forward and you keep it moving.
A tributary or an aside from that, what do you think when people have good relationships with their, I guess, exes? Is that a good thing, or do you kind of squint your eyes a little?
Kim talks to all of her exes.
I think it's a good thing.
As long as
there's no, like, it's pretty obvious whenever somebody's hanging around.
Right. For me personally, if you don't have kids with someone, I don't need you talking to them on the regular basis. I certainly don't need you talking to them about us. It's one thing if you're cool with your ex and you guys know each other. It's very, you know, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You guys are cordial. That's fine. But I don't need you to be all super duper close with an ex that you don't have kids with. I just don't see the need for that.
That's a good answer.
But what if you're really good friends with them? You know, y'all might not have been good romantically, but you're good friends. And before I got, and I'm just using me, before you came into my life, like, this was a person who was just a really great friend. We just hung out and we talked. I'm now supposed to give up him or there's some men who say to me, all of them friends you got, I got a lot of friends who would do it, like a David Arnold, this one.
But you haven't slept with them.
I've never slept with them, but they like, I'm not comfortable with you talking to all of these men. I probably wouldn't be if he was talking to a bunch of girls. How do you feel about that?
I'm a different kind of girl.
See, you don't care. You don't care.
If they're friends, because you know they have to come over here and watch Joshua.
What a businesswoman.
Can they watch Joshua? I don't care if you was involved with threesomes. Can the other two come over and watch Joshua?
And one cook.
How do you feel about that?
So, okay, if it's ex-boyfriend or like an ex-girlfriend that you had a, that you were in a relationship with, I still feel like you don't need to be talking to them on the regular basis, especially once you're in a relationship. When you're single and you don't, you're not in a relationship, it's very different. But when you get in a relationship, why do you feel the need to talk to an ex that much? I'm not saying cut them out completely, but it shouldn't be a regular conversation. I'm not talking about guys who you're friends with, like guy friends, whatever, you know, stay friends with, or girls that you were really friends with. Fine, that's cool. But an ex,
if you don't have, the rule is if you don't have kids together or a business together.
But Monique, if you're dating somebody, if you're a person who's a serial dater and you get into these relationships, now I'm your friend. Every time I look around, you're going, girl, I can't talk to you. I got to cut you out because, you know, or we've dated before and we had like a long relationship. Now, every time you get into a relationship, you got to cut me out. Then when you break up with him, you call me back up.
Okay, so are you referring to your friends staying friends with a guy that you used to date? Is that what you're referring to?
I derailed the, I'm saying if I was in a relationship with you and now we're just really good friends. So now you get into a relationship with another girl. So you got to call me and go, I can't talk to you because she don't like it. Okay, now y'all don't make it. Then you call me back up so our friendship can resume.
Well, that does happen a lot, yeah.
Then that does happen.
You get into another relationship with a girl.
Okay, I feel you on that, but during the time of that relationship, if the person that you're in a relationship says, I'm not comfortable with you having a relationship with someone or talking to them on the regular basis, it makes me uncomfortable. If you're in a relationship with that person, you care about them, then you are going to kind of pull back. You're definitely going to pull back just out of respect for the relationship. And if you guys break up, because here's the thing, let's say you guys don't break up. Are you going to sacrifice your current relationship with someone who makes you happy for a relationship that clearly did not work? No. If you break up, then fine. Yeah, you might feel some kind of way. It's like, oh, now you want to talk to me. But they were being respectful of the person in the relationship. And not everybody cares. Like Kim, you said you don't, you're fine with it. You don't care. You're not tripping on it. Some people do.
No.
Well,
you know, Rodney's ex-girlfriend, we friends right now.
You friends with everybody's ex-girlfriend. Monique, we love you. We don't want to take any more of your time. This has been so amazing. And anybody who has questions for our dating expert, Monique Kelly, you can email us at twofunnymamas@gmail.com. Please support Monique's book, Reality and Chaos. It's at amazon.com or barnesandnoble.com. And you can follow Monique at Cocktails and Confessions on her social media platforms. You can see her all the time on Daily Pop. We just thank you. This was so much
fun. Thank you so much. Please email me questions. Yeah.
It was fun. And we'll start on time next time, Monique, because then we can give you more time. And we just appreciate you. We'll take you out.
Yes.
So you can show me how to flirt.
You ladies are amazing.
Well, thank you so much, everyone. We're trying to get up to 100,000 subscribers. So please push the subscribe button on YouTube. If you are one of our listeners, hit the subscribe button. Thank you so much.
And to let you also know, we're having different guests on. So tell us who you would like to see. You all wanted to see a dating expert. So we have Monique Kelly on, who's coming back. We also have coming up Mr. Marcus, a retired former adult entertainer.
Yeah.
So look at Monique. So Mr. Marcus is going to talk about life as an adult entertainer and what his life is like afterwards. And the things also, he's a relationship about what women do to turn men off.
He has some tips.
Yes. So we have that coming up. So if you want us to talk to someone, if you have an interest, please let us know and we'll try to make that happen. So
thank you for listening and watching Two Funny Mamas.
Subscribe. Thank you, Monique.
Thank you, Monique.
Bye. Two Funny Mamas.